This morning, as part of NPR series 50 Great Voices, we bring you the story of a brilliant voice, a brilliant song, and how they came together. This is Israel Kamakaviva'ole, the late Hawaiian musician who did something rare in music. He redefined a beloved classic. His version of Over the Rainbow has the poignancy of Judy Garland's and the shimmering vulnerability. But these days, it's heard so often on TV and in the movies, a younger generation may know only Israel's version.
It's not only the voice. In Hawaii, we talk about this thing, what we call mana.
Del Beasley is a musician and childhood friend of Israel's.
Mana is like an energy that you get. We believe we get ours from all of the elements first, yeah? Your earth, your sky, your ocean, your God. And all that is inside of us. And when we open our mouth to either speak, to sing, or to play, that's what we let out.
Del Beasley remembers the first time he heard Israel sing. They were teenagers, and Israel showed up with his older brother Skippy at a graduation party.
They set up with instruments that were kind of beat up. In fact, one of the ukuleles was held together with bubblegum. What happened was, as soon as Israel Kamakaviva'ole opened his mouth and sang, that whole place went quiet. Every great singer has something special about him. And that thing just cut right through the air and, you know, just stopped everybody in their tracks.
Israel was still a teenager when he and his brother formed a band called the Makaha Sons of Ne'ihau. The 1970s was a time when young Hawaiians were rediscovering their language and culture. In music, that meant getting away from the kitschy hula tunes for tourists, like My Little Grass Shack. Israel's group was among those that embraced traditional melodies. Israel was the group's standout, for his voice and also his size. Both he and his brother Skippy weighed hundreds of pounds, the girth of sumo wrestlers, and Israel was tall, with flowing black hair. Then, in 1988, on his own, Israel Kamakaviva'ole recorded a song that made him a legend. It began at 3 in the morning. Milan Bertosa was at the end of a long day in his Honolulu recording studio.
And the phone rings, and it was a client of mine. He said, I've got Israel Kamakalakalakalakalakalakalaka here. He said, well, he wants to come and record a demo. Well, shutting down, come back tomorrow. And he said, no, here, talk to Israel. So he puts Israel on the phone, and he's this really sweet man. He's well-mannered, just kind, and, you know, please can I come in? I got this idea.
At that, Bertosa relented and gave Israel 15 minutes to get there. Soon, there was a knock on the door.
And in walks like the largest human being I had seen in my life. Israel was probably about 500 pounds. I put up some microphones, do a quick sound check, roll tape, and the first thing he does is Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Meaning he just took his ukulele and started singing.
He played and sang, and one take, and it was over. The next day, I got Israel a copy and filed the tape away.
It would be 5 years before that tape came off the shelf. In 1993, Milan Bertosa was back in a studio with Israel making a solo album, and Bertosa had an epiphany. He fished out the recording of Over the Rainbow, and it ended up on Facing Future, still the best-selling Hawaiian album of all time, thanks to this one song.
You know, there's been a bunch of articles written about Somewhere Over the Rainbow. He gets the lyrics wrong. He changes the melody. You know, if you sat there with a book and a scorecard, you could count the mistakes, or you could just listen to the song and smile.
Trouble melts like lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find me, oh, somewhere over the rainbow.
Israel would only see the beginning of his song's amazing success. As he grew increasingly obese, he was in and out of the hospital. His brother Skippy had died from complications of obesity, as did all Israel's immediate family. Israel knew he was destined for a brief life, and for his producer, John DeMello, everything Israel sang and said became precious.
And if you're playing music with somebody that play, and you don't know the song, no play.
Every session, I would keep him for an hour afterwards and just tell me stories.
I was scared when I lost my mother, my father, my brother, my sister. I guess it's going to sound kind of weird. I'm not scared for myself for dying because we Hawaiian. We live in both worlds. When our time comes, no cry for me, guys. No cry for me.
In the summer of 1997, Israel Kamaka Viva Ole, by then one of the most beloved singers in the history of Hawaiian music, died of respiratory failure. He was 38. Israel's body lay in state at Hawaii's Capitol building, a rare honor. Days later, he was cremated, and his ashes carried on a traditional Hawaiian voyaging canoe. His longtime friend Del Beasley and producer John DeMello were among those on board.
And going down the coastline, all the big semi-trucks on the island of Oahu had their air horns blowing. And from the ocean, we could hear the echo, the bounce off the mountain ranges.
In the old days, people would wail when the mo'i or the king passed away and cry. And that's really what it was. I mean, this whole island came together just to say goodbye to this one Hawaiian. He would have laughed, but I tell you that right now, he would have been laughing.
Ahivela, my neiloko, ikahanga,
aheloha. There's more of Israel Kamaka Viva Ole and the series 50 Great Voices at our website. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.